Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, written by the Apostle Paul to a young pastor that was at Ephesus by the name of Timothy, his son in the faith, so to speak, because I think Paul was involved in at least in a portion for Timothy getting saved, and then certainly in his call he was Paul's helper, and then surrendered to preach under Paul's ministry. Paul put him in charge of the church at Ephesus and told him to stay there. Paul was getting ready to go to Macedonia. He said, "No, Timothy, I want you to stay in Ephesus. I want you to pastor the church, and I want you to stand strong for good doctrine, stand against false teaching." And so this letter was written as an encouragement and an instruction to this young pastor. And of course, Paul spells out in the first chapter we talked about, he says, the reason I want you to do this is because good doctrine, good teaching leads to loving. Loving God and loving others. And when people love God and when people love others, they'll fulfill their responsibility to share the gospel with the lost. And so again, the books of 1 and 2 Timothy and the book of Titus are both church manuals, or all three church manuals, that are just as applicable today as they were when Paul penned them. And so far in our study, we've covered the place of prayer in the church. We've covered the role of men and women. We've covered the qualifications for pastors, the qualifications for deacons. Last week, we spent some more time Paul instructing Timothy how to deal with false teachers that were in the church. And tonight we're in chapter 5, and we're going to look at some instructions that Paul gave Timothy as to how to deal with older people, how the church should deal with widows. And as I studied this past couple weeks on this, I would like to include it to include not only widows, but moms and dads. And I think that everything we say about widows would apply to fathers as well as mothers, not just widows and not just single, not just guys that have lost their wives, but moms and dads that are still alive, that are not widowers or widowers. I think the instructions apply to all. And I think it's a good passage of Scripture to remind us of the responsibilities that God expects us to fulfill toward our parents. Okay, now we'll talk about widows, but again, I'm going to expand it a little bit tonight. And then if we get to it tonight, I'm not sure we will, there's some instructions for the pastors, the elders. And again, you're going to see elder in verse 1. It's different than the elders when we get later in the chapter. So 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1, "Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren." So you remember last week, one of the instructions that Paul gave Timothy was, don't let anybody despise thy youth. Don't let anybody just put you off because you're a young person. Now, he told Timothy, you need to earn their respect. But, you know, don't be afraid to preach the truth. Don't be afraid to teach the Bible to older people, even though you're younger. But he says, remember as you do that to not rebuke them, but to treat them like you would your... And again, this word elder does not mean pastor. It means an older person. But to treat the older man as your father and the younger men as your brother. Now, I don't know about you, but I have never been able to rebuke my brothers, and I certainly would never try to rebuke my dad. I just knew better than that. But there were things that I thought I needed to say to my dad, and there are certainly things that I thought I needed to say to my brothers, but because I didn't have a position of authority over them, I did not do it harshly. I did not, you know, come down hard on them. I treated my dad with respect. And we had some long talks. I mean, you know, he certainly taught me a lot, but I think as he got older and started to have certain attitudes about things, I think I helped him a little bit. But I did that as a concerned son. I did that out of love. I did that with a lot of respect. And Paul's telling Timothy, when older people sometimes need instruction, they sometimes need encouragement. But you don't do that with harshness. You don't do that by berating them. You do that as you would to your father or to your brother, as a loving, concerned family member with a great deal of respect. Now, he says the same thing in verse 2 about elder ladies and younger ladies. The elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. Again, older ladies sometimes need instruction. Older ladies sometimes need encouragement. They sometimes need rebuke. But again, you don't do that harshly. You do that as you would your mother. I had to get on to my mom on Monday about something, but I didn't beat her up, so to speak. I didn't do it harshly. I did it with love as a concerned son. She was worrying too much about my brother. And I said, "Now, that ain't going to do any good." I mean, she still hadn't got enough strength to hardly get out of the house, but she said, "I'm going to the hospital." I said, "How are you going to get there? Because I ain't taking you." But she wanted to be there. I said, "No, you just need, Patty's there. I'll go if they need me, but you just need to put it in the Lord's hands and not, worry about it so much." And again, I might have been a little harsh when I told her I wasn't going to take her, but I didn't mean to be. But again, out of loving concern with a lot of respect, Paul said, Timothy, when an older lady needs to be rebuked, that's how you do it. And even the younger ones, treat as your sisters. Now, I never had a sister. I've seen some brothers and sisters go at it a little bit more than, I don't know, so I don't have any experience to speak, but I think the same thing would be true with sisters, that you don't rebuke them with harshness, you rebuke them with love as a concerned brother. And so Paul is telling Timothy, that's how you need to treat people in the church. There's going to be times when they need to be corrected. There's going to be times when they need to be rebuked, so to speak. But you don't do that with harshness. You do that as somebody that loves them, that is concerned about them, that wants the best for them, with a lot of respect. That's how you do it. Now, in verse 3, Paul turns his attention to widows. And there's several verses here that deal with widows. And I just counted this afternoon as I was finishing up my study. We actually have 20 widows that are associated with our church. I was surprised that the number was so large. And so these verses apply. Now, as a church, we're not taking care, in other words, financially supporting any of our widows. But if the need ever arose, we have a responsibility to do that. And Paul gives some guidelines as to how a church should approach that responsibility. He says in verse 3, honor widows that are widows indeed. In other words, when he says honor them, their needs need to be met, those that are widows indeed. Now, he's going to define what a widow indeed is. Again, he has some guidelines for the church to follow. He also has some responsibilities that these widows need to fulfill to be cared for by the church. So he says in verse 4, "But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God." And so Paul says, again, before he starts talking about the church's responsibility, he reminds the people in church, the sons and the daughters. That word nephew actually doesn't mean the same as our word nephew, although the word would include what we mean by nephew. It actually means descendants. So it could mean sons, daughters, grandsons, granddaughters, nieces and nephews, anybody that is descended from a widow. He says, you have responsibility to take care of your widow. Now, again, I think it wouldn't be stretching much to say you have a responsibility to take care of your dad. You have a responsibility to take care of your parents. He said, you first need to show piety, and that word means devotion or reverence, at home. And then he uses the word requite, your parents, which means to repay or pay back the care that they gave to you. And so if the need ever arises, Paul says, you that are Christians have the responsibility to take care of mom and dad. You need to do that as you honor them. And again, the commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, it has no expiration date. We don't get old enough to where we no longer have to follow that commandment. It's a lifetime commandment. And part of honor is not only obedience and not only respect, but is helping take care of our parents if they get to the point where they can't do it on their own. And Paul says, it's good and acceptable before God. And what he's saying is, that's what God expects of his children. That's what God expects of Christians. Again, to take care of their parents, a widowed mom, a widower dad, or even if they're both still alive and still need help, God says, I want you to help them. I want you to take care of them. Now, again, I'll say this again when we get down to verse 8, because Paul gives a very stern instruction in verse 8. But let me just say it here. Don't say you're a Christian and ignore dad and mom when they need you. Paul says it doesn't cut it. It doesn't work. You're not much of a Christian. You're not much of a believer. You're not much of a follower of Jesus Christ if you have a widow mom or if you have a widower dad or if they're both still alive and they need you and you ignore them. Paul says don't. You'd be better off not to let anybody know you're a Christian if you're going to ignore your parents, because the two do not go together. God's expectation, Christ's expectation of us, if we have a parent or parents in need, we need to care for them. Now, in verse 5, Paul gives some guidelines, again, talking about a widow indeed. Now, she that is a widow indeed and desolate. Paul's saying if she's a widow indeed, and one of those qualifications is she's desolate. In other words, she has no financial means to care for herself. Paul's saying, look, if you have a widow and she's not desolate, she has, you know, plenty of resources that she can meet her needs, and then the church has a responsibility to love, has a responsibility to help, has a responsibility to advise if advice is sought. But a church would not be expected to support that widow financially. But then Paul says, if you're going to support a widow, and if there's somebody that is a widow indeed, desolate, that widow has some responsibilities as well. Paul spells out in the last part of verse 5. First of all, she trusteth in God. In other words, she's a Christian, and she's concerned about godly things. She continues in supplications and prayers night and day. She knows how to pray. She knows how to get a hold of God. She knows how to lift other people up before God. I think widows and widowers both, because of what they've been through in losing a spouse, know what it is to get a hold of God. And Paul says they need to do that on the behalf of other people. They need to lift other people up in prayer. Notice what it says, night and day, they offer up those supplications and those prayers. Verse 6, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Again, widows that live for pleasure, they live for themselves. They have no regard for God. They have no regard for others. Paul says the church has no responsibility for them. That's what he's saying. In fact, he's saying that she's dead while she liveth. In other words, she's no use to God. She's no use to other people. Verse 7, and these things give in charge that they may be blameless. Timothy, teach these things, preach these things, both to families and widows. They need to know God's instructions for these situations so that they can be blameless. In other words, no blame before God. They know God's instructions. They know God's instructions. And if they follow those instructions, they are guilt-free before God. Verse 8. Now here's the stern warning that Paul gives. It goes back to what I said a few minutes ago. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Paul says, look, if you have somebody in your family that has needs, I mean, that is desolate, that can't meet their own needs to buy food, to buy shelter, to buy clothes, I mean, the necessities of life, if you don't take care of them, and again, I think dads and moms both would certainly fall in this category, certainly widows would, but he says, you've denied the faith. You're not living, you're not, he said, and you're worse than an infidel. An infidel is somebody is an unbeliever, somebody that doesn't have anything to do with church, somebody that doesn't have anything to do with God. And what Paul's saying is, again, don't say that you're a Christian and then ignore dad and mom when they have a need. Now, let me just step back. If I haven't stepped on your toes yet, I'm about to do it now. There's no qualifications in that verse that says, that gives you a free pass by saying, well, you don't know my dad or you don't know my mom. They weren't a very good mom or dad. They didn't treat me very good when I was a kid. They didn't raise me very good when I was a kid. Their behavior doesn't keep with my way of thinking of how they behave. There's no free pass for any of that. No free pass. God's expectation is that if they have a need, we help them meet that need. And we care for them. And if we don't, he says, you've denied the faith. You're turning your back on what Jesus Christ wants you to do. Because his expectations is that you take care of them. Verse 9. Okay, now he gives some more qualifications. Now this is very interesting. Verse 9. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man. So Paul says, if a widow is 60 years and older, you can add her to the number. In other words, that those are ones that the church should take care of, those that are 60 years old, married to one, the wife of one man. Now, I thought about the widows in our church. And again, I'm not saying that I would ignore this verse, but I think about Kay Rutherford, for example. Been married twice. Over 60. Now, Kay can take care of herself. But I would think if Kay got into a position that she couldn't and she had financial needs, I might be leading the church astray, but I would lead the church to take care of her. I mean, I think, she, you know, I mean, she meets all the other qualifications as far as being a Christian, a believer, praying. Again, she's been married twice, but she's been a widow twice. And so, again, I'm not teaching you to disobey the Bible. I'm just saying, you know, these are guidelines. And again, I think every widow or every mom and dad need to but he says, not be taken into the number under 80 years old. Here's some more qualifications. Well reported of for good works. And again, thinking about Kay, I mean, I think she fits this quality. And please don't tell her I talked about her on Wednesday night or she'll be mad at me. But I think she fits the qualifications of this verse. Well reported of for good works. If she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet. Now, I don't think that's foot washing in the church, but I think it's taking care of things at home because the context of the verse is all at home, brought up children, lodged strangers. If she has relieved the afflicted, in other words, through her life, she has helped other people that are sick, that had needs. If she has diligently followed every good work. And again, Paul says, you know, these are the kind of widows that if the need comes up, if they're desolate, if they can't take care of themselves, then the church needs to step in and help. Then he goes on in verse 11. But the younger widows, which I assume is under 60, refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry. Now, again, I'm not saying if you're a widow that's 55 years old that Paul's telling you to remarry. I'm just saying he says the general guidelines are that younger ladies have the probability of marrying again, okay? And in that way, you know, having their needs met. Verse 12, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. Now, again, I had to do some real studying on that verse because I wasn't sure what it meant. But what a couple of the guys that I'm studying after said, if they marry an unbeliever, if they remarry an unbeliever, they have cast off their first faith. Paul wrote in Corinthians, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And so he's saying here, if they're going to remarry, they need to remarry somebody that's a Christian, somebody that's a believer. And withal, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. Paul says the danger is that if the church starts to take care of younger widows, that they will be idle because they don't need to be busy because somebody's taken care of, and they'll wander from house to house, tattlers and busybodies, in other words, sticking their nose into places and things that they shouldn't be sticking their nose into, and speaking things which they ought not. In other words, gossiping and spreading rumors and different things like that. So he says in verse 14, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. In other words, if it's God's will, they need to remarry. They need to, you know, raise children. They need to look over the house. And don't give the adversary, Satan, or his representatives, any reason to bring reproach against them. For some are already turned aside after Satan. So apparently there were some widows that perhaps had married an unbeliever, or there were some younger widows who were doing the things that we talked about in verse 13, you know, wandering, being idle, wandering around, sticking their nose into things they shouldn't stick their nose into, saying things that they ought not to say. Verse 16, if any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. So Paul's being very practical here. See, now look, there's a limit to what a church can do. Therefore, the first responsibility of families need to be to take care of their own. They need to take care of their widows. They need to take care of widowers. They need to take care of moms and dads. That way, the church will have the resources to take care of those that are widows indeed. In other words, those that have no family, have no other means of support, are desolate, and the church can then do what it's supposed to do if families will do what they're supposed to do. Now, we're going to quit for tonight because if we start the next section, I'll just have to come back and repeat it next week. Verse 17 starts talking about pastors. But again, let me just say this. I know many of your situations. I know because you've shared with me what you have done in the past in caring for moms and dads that have gotten older and that have needed your care. And so I want you to know tonight, I don't think that any of you needed this reminder, because you have been a people that have stepped up to your responsibilities. You are a people. I mean, some of you are involved in it right now. You are a bunch of folks that realize that, you know, if we're going to be Christian, we need to be Christian when it comes to our parents. We need to be Christian when it comes to taking care of them. And again, God never asks us to do anything without giving us the strength and the ability to do it. If you would have told me before I started taking care of my dad that I was going to do some of the things that I was going to do, I would have said, there's no way. I can't do that. I just can't do it. But I did it, and I was glad I could be there to do it, but I didn't do it in my own strength. I did it with the strength of God. I did it sometimes with the patience of God. In fact, who was I talking to today? I can't remember. I was talking to somebody today, and it was somebody that I felt comfortable talking about this, but I was talking about the difference of between my dad and my mom. When my brother and I were taking care of my dad, if he said thank you, it was only once or twice. He complained because when we'd spend the night with him, he said, "You guys are using too much water. When you take a shower, get wet, then turn off the water, soap up, and then turn the water back on." It's just my dad. He never offered to pay for my gas or my brother's gas or anything like that. Now, my mom, she gives us her credit card. "Go to the store, get whatever you want to eat." We have to fight her because she wants to give us money all the time. She said, "No, we're not taking your money." And she never said one thing about the water or how much we eat or anything like that. It's just a difference. I love them both. I'm glad. Again, I need to thank you for this because as a church, you've allowed me to be away a large part of the last 3 years in caring for my parents. But I preached or teach this lesson tonight knowing that nobody here needs it. It's just because you have proven by your actions, and again, and you've shared them with me, that you know that our Christianity is big enough, it needs to encompass taking care of our mom and dad. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand and have a word of prayer. Be dismissed.